The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Is that the pitch? Water sucks, Gatorade is better? No. That's a pretty good tagline.
You never heard that?
Put that on a t-shirt.
That's from the Water Boy.
Oh,
you know, remember?
Yeah,
goes,
right.
Water
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
It really, really sucks.
I don't remember
sucks.
That either.
Yeah.
And then he goes, Gatorade.
Hey, homies. It's producer Pete Demolitis again, a.k.a. Pete Demolitis. This is our third and final episode of our Super Bowl interview series. So today you'll hear Chris and Mike Florio from Radio Row talking to some of the best defensive players in the NFL. We've got Aiden Hutchinson, who tells us the story behind his video game name. TJ Watt tells us how the Renegade boost is real at Steelers home games. Max Crosby comes in hot. He's got a bone to pick with Sims, and he does not hold back. Then Sauce Gardner tells us about the time an Aaron Rodgers pass burned his gloves. And we've also got Bobby Wagner weighing in on the Seahawks moving on from Pete Carroll. But first, the guys talk to Hall of Fame running back Emmitt Smith, who has some very harsh words for the entire Cowboys organization. Enjoy the interviews, guys.
It is a Super Bowl week tradition. One of the greatest running backs of all time, the all-time NFL leading rusher, and he usually brings tequila.
Oh, he's bringing
and
the tequila.
He's got the tequila with him today, the great Emmitt Smith. Emmitt, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great, man.
Yeah,
always. Always good to have you here. I mean, we try to make you a yearly thing. Like, it's like one of our things. It's not a Super Bowl unless we talk to Emmitt.
Well, damn it. Cool.
You're
I'm
good.
Glad
you're down with that.
Yes, I'm down for that.
I mean, damn. When I grew up, you were in the Super Bowl anyway, so we might as well keep the damn
why
thing
not?
Going.
And it's gonna be a long time for my Cowboys to get here, so why not keep talking about it? So I mean,
I love it. They say it's gonna be next year. Jerry's going all in.
Going
He's going all in.
Jerry,
what does
know.
All in look like?
I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta understand what all in looks like. It means something different to everybody.
You're funny. You are funny. All right. You know, one thing we've asked you so many questions over the year. I don't know if I've ever asked you this one. Is what was the difference in feeling Super Bowl I compared to Super Bowl II you played in?
There was no feeling in Super Bowl III.
Right, okay. No feeling in Super Bowl III?
No tingling.
Like just a game. Here we go.
I was so mad. I was disappointed.
Right.
I was like, what happened?
The Steelers Super Bowl
III. Yeah, what happened?
Right.
I'm like, where are the butterflies?
Right.
I don't feel nothing. Am I not ready to play
right.
or what? I start questioning.
Right.
Because Super Bowl I and II, one was really hyped.
Rose Bowl.
Yes.
Right. First
because
one for you guys.
Because the very first one.
Right.
The second one was moderately hyped.
Right.
But that third one, I'm like, pinch me.
Yeah.
I mean, am I sleeping? I mean, am I not sensing what I'm supposed to sense? Something is wrong? It wasn't nothing wrong.
Right.
It was all about the experiences of being in the big moment at the big time at the right time.
Okay, so I'm glad you're going down this because in that game too, you guys showed that experience. You jumped out on them. They were nervous and you're throwing bombs to Deion and you're running down the middle of the field, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel like that's an advantage for Kansas City in these kind of things?
I think it can be an advantage
to
Kansas City, but it also can be a disadvantage.
Yeah.
The advantage part of it is, okay, they know it's a football game.
Right.
And they know that the other opposing team is going to come with a lot of energy and everything else. The question is, how do they withstand that first onslaught
right.
and that first level of energy, and how long will that energy sustain itself
right.
for the Niners?
Right.
Now, on the other side, and this is what Kyle Shanahan experienced when he was in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
When the Falcons end up losing to
the Patriots, right,
28-3. They ran out of gas. They just ran out of gas. It wasn't the fact that they were not playing hard. It's just they couldn't not sustain that energy level for a period of time. And Brady was like, I knew this was going to happen at some point. Now I'm going to get you behind.
I'm just going to pick you apart. Yeah, I'm going to pick you apart.
Everybody tired. Right. Everybody can't move the same.
Right.
And that's what you're looking at right now when you're talking about experience versus inexperience.
Right, right.
The Cowboys today. Specifically.
Are they here?
Well, no.
Well, one of them is. There goes Michael.
Is that Irv?
Michael Irvin.
That's
there
Irv.
He is.
Michael Irvin. The playmaker.
There's the playmaker.
There he is.
Come say hi. Come on, Michael. Michael's
got to
go. All right. Michael will come by later. Mike McCarthy's still the head coach. How surprised were you that Jerry decided to keep him after that playoff loss to the Packers?
I was completely surprised. I know how disappointed I was as a player to see that product put on the football field.
Yeah.
It is not becoming of the Dallas Cowboys. Mystique, respect, the brand.
Right.
It is not it's not the appropriate representation of the brand itself. Now, Jerry understands these kind of words.
Yeah.
The brand.
Right.
The star.
Right.
Everything has to be pristine.
Right.
But this was not.
Yeah.
That right there was so disappointing. Not only to me, but to many of our fans, and including people that was sitting like, what is that?
Yeah.
It did not look good and wasn't a good look.
Do you ever wonder, because I know Jerry says all the time, I want me some glory hole. You know that line.
Yeah.
I want me some glory hole. I want to win Super Bowls. He did say that. That's not me. That's him.
He was
said
looking
that.
At you weird.
He's looking at me like, what? Wait, do you know what you're saying?
Did he really say that?
Jerry said that once.
Okay.
And he said it twice.
He said
it again.
He said it recently.
He said it about
again.
The Rangers after they won the World Series. It is the absolute glory hole to win a national championship. That's Jerry. That's
your
Jerry.
Owner.
You know Jerry better
it's
than
your
we
owner.
Do.
Yeah, it is my owner.
But I feel like, Emmett, at some level that – he's saying what he has to say to get people to keep showing up, to keep the Cowboys on TV. Like, because you're not putting the actions to the words.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
That therefore, you lose credibility. And if you're losing credibility, you're losing respect. You lose respect, you have no honor.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, I agree to some level. Things have to change. And I thought the reason why I was so convinced that he was going to get fired.
Yeah, right.
Because last year there was a whole lot of talk about, okay,
yeah,
this might be it.
Right.
If he doesn't perform this year, okay.
Right.
You're going to accept 12 wins and a playoff berth, but you're going to accept the way we got kicked out of the playoffs?
Yeah, like dominated.
Dominated. I mean, it's like we went out there and played with our hands tied behind our backs.
Yeah.
Or we left our minds up in Frisco and didn't even take it over to AT&T in Arlington.
Yeah.
It was such a disappointing thing. It was just bad. It's bad all the way around. I even hate talking about it because I feel responsible.
Well, I feel you. I can feel you. You're emotionally invested.
I feel responsible. I feel like I could have helped, and I don't know how.
Yeah.
But, it was bad.
Was there a coach you thought maybe was on the radar or was going to happen where you were like, oh, I think Jerry might do this or, you know?
Initially, I thought it was going to be Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Initially, I thought it would have been Sean Payton.
Right.
But at this point, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I really don't know. Outside of going and stealing Dan Campbell from the Detroit Lions, because I think his message is the right message that a lot of people are missing.
Right.
And a lot of kids are missing.
What message specifically?
I mean, think about what he's doing and what he's saying, how he's saying it. Now, he's making some mistakes, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
When to go for it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
Going
for it
when come on, coach.
Yeah, yeah. Go up 17 in the NFC Championship game.
Exactly.
Right, right.
He's making some mistakes.
Right, but it's other stuff.
It's other stuff. Right. It's the other things that I can deal with some things because I know the message is the right message.
Yeah.
He's going to learn from what he just went through.
Right.
It's not that often that he's been a head coach. So he's going to learn from what he went through.
Yeah.
That part I can almost guarantee you because that's the kind of mentality he has.
But the mentality is just this what we see all the time. Grit, just go out there, fight hard, dig deep, come together. Just
nobody
all the stuff
wants to fight hard no more.
But it works.
No one wants to fight hard anymore. They want to, we are the
Cowboys. Tell me how good I am.
Tell me how good I am. Check out my Instagram post.
Right.
See me on my podcast. Right. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm everything.
Right.
Without doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and everybody's patting him on the back without doing anything.
Right.
People want to give him so much without doing nothing.
Right.
And what they're living off of is what happened in the past.
Right.
not what's going down right now. They're not establishing their own legacy, let alone building off of the legacy that was established. When I got to the Cowboys, I knew one thing.
Yeah.
I knew I could not disappoint Tony Dorsett as a running back. And I knew I could not disappoint Robert Newhouse as a running back or Calvin Hill or let alone Bullet Bob Hayes.
Right.
Then I knew I could not disappoint Captain Comeback, Roger Staubach, Ed Tuttall Jones. I embraced the history of who we were because I loved them as a Cowboy when I was a kid myself. So when I got there, it's like, shoot, we ain't going to be 1-15.
Right.
My mind was already on that. And I knew Michael Mine was on it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Mine had to be on it.
Yeah, so that's what I say, too. Like, the coach has got to be a part of that, right? And not putting up with nonsense.
Don't
is that where you're going?
No BS. Right. And at the end of the day, when you see a legendary defensive end like Charles Haley, who's a Hall of Famer, working with Leon Lett, Tony Tolbert, Tony Casillas, and Chad Hennings, Jimmy Jones, and other players, working with them, teaching them swim things. He's working with them to make them better so he become better. He's not worrying about competing against them. But when you see that, you see that, you see greatness. And that's why that team was so good defensively. Then when you see Deion come in, he could have came in Deion Neon.
Right.
But he didn't. He came in playing ping pong with everybody. Whoever wanted to play ping pong, he played
Bring
it on. Yeah, it was competition. Dominoes was being played between James Washington and myself, defensive players, offensive players, and they getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Things that brought us together are things that I think is missing within the locker room.
Yeah,
today.
I hear you. Everybody's got their own life. I got to go here.
Yeah,
I got this party.
I got this party.
I got Instagram people over here. Yeah, I hear you, man. It's old school's
it's
dying.
It's a joke.
I like Man, I like this. Do you need more
tequila?
And that
bottle isn't even open yet.
Sure? No. That cup?
It's empty. It's empty.
He's waiting for us to crack the seal.
You're on fire today. You are on fire. I'm feeling like it's the second Super Bowl. You're just carrying the squad right now.
Hey.
Isn't it amazing, though,
fourth quarter.
We've talked about
this
so many times.
Well,
I know.
I want to be in the position to where I have to make the play.
The last time you guys won the Super Bowl is the last time they even played in the game to get to the Super Bowl. I never would have dreamed that the Cowboys would go 28, now 29 years without playing in an NFC championship. I can't believe that.
I wouldn't have dreamed it neither. And like I told somebody earlier, I'm tired of being sold on what the Cowboys could be. I had enough of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm more about what the Cowboys really are and who we really are and who we were. That's where I'm at.
Right.
And that's where everyone else is at. You was this. How do you allow this to happen?
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, hey, I know the prism which I look at the team through and the eyes, I go all the way back to Staubach. I go all the way back to those days with Leroy Jordan. I go all the way back to those days. And then I come up to where we were at, and I'm like, okay, we honored them. We respected them.
Right.
We respected the history of the game. We love the game. I respect the history of the game like no other, whether it's Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Dorsett, Gary Sayers, you name them, all the way up to where – Barry Sanders and I are sitting side to side, you know, and Thurman Thomas is in the mix.
Right.
I respect my players. I respect their play.
Right.
And I honor who they are because I'm honoring this position and I'm honoring the game. These mother brothers here, I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was it.
We nominate Emmitt Smith to be hired by Mike McCarthy as the Cowboys' official let's get our shit together coach.
How about that?
Right.
How about that?
And with your tequila.
Yeah, they probably need
tell
some
us
of this.
About it.
Tell us about it.
Guys, I've been working with Tequila Herradura for over 13 years now. Started in 2010, and it's been a great partnership. I was with them before the category blew up.
Right.
And now that the category has so many different other brands in it, this brand here still reigns supreme.
Herradura, baby.
I mean, quality. We just talked about the Cowboys and everything else.
Right.
It's about quality.
Yes.
It's not about having so many different things where you lose the quality.
Yeah.
It's about representing the brand.
Right.
And this brand right here, hopefully I haven't let it down, and it's not letting me down.
What?
So.
This is the true syrup right here.
Yeah, I mean, that is.
The seal still isn't cracked, though.
The seal's not cracked. It is what it is. Here's the amazing thing.
It's rubbing off on him.
Here's the amazing thing about this. They own 22,000 acres of agave.
Wow.
100% blue agave. 22,000 acres.
That's incredible. 22.
Yeah. That's right.
Hopefully they're paying you
they didn't
22, comma, 000, comma, 000. All right.
I'm trying to take control of the brand.
You're trying to get that?
There you go. Who's the guy that's playing today that you look at and you say, that reminds me of 22?
There isn't one, really. The closest that I saw that had the running style or the reflection of my running style was Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
He was the closest one.
I hear you. I see that.
Outside of that, I see McCaffrey as a guy that he reminds me of a smaller version of a Dickerson.
Yeah, okay.
But not with the high knees like that, but he was a beautiful running style.
Right.
And he sees the field quite clearly. Macheco.
I thought you might say Roger Craig almost with McCaffrey,
Roger,
too.
Kind of like,
you know?
Like Roger Craig. Kind of like Roger Craig. No, Roger. Yeah, kind of like Roger Craig. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought
that
up.
Hey, I'm here with you, man. I got you back, man.
That's respecting history right
now. He is a football historian.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I mean, he grew up with
it. I did. Yeah.
So, yes. But
I still remember my dad's retirement game. Emmett, you know, waving to Felipe Sparks behind, and then he waved to me at one point during the game. He was always great to me. Let alone he made me cry when he hurt his shoulder and still won
1993,
the game.
1993, the regular season finale, taking the one seed.
Ruining my damn dreams. Gosh.
No, man. That's what you call a ball player.
That's a ball player.
That's a ball player.
You ruin dreams every now and then.
And I have to. Because if I don't ruin somebody else's dream, I'm ruining my own
dream. Right. Yes.
Boy, that's another message the Cowboys need to hear, too, right? Ruin dreams. Go out there and ruin
make your
dreams.
Own dreams.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, last one before you go. Running backs right now, like, is there anything you look at to where teams are not using them the right way? Are you a fan of how much they substitute guys in and out of the game? Now, sometimes I go, how can you ever get in rhythm running the ball if you're in a series and the next series they put the other guy in and they go back and forth?
I couldn't do it.
Right.
I couldn't do it because I needed a commitment. And I think that's the problem. There isn't a commitment. And if there is, there's also a concern of overusage.
Yeah, right.
And so everybody is getting around and taking technology to manage pitch counts for everybody. They're doing it at the collegiate level, and I believe they may be doing it even at the professional level.
Yeah,
so,
they are.
If you want to talk about head trauma and all these kind of things, maybe that may be the reason why.
Right.
But as a player, I understand what my responsibility is, and I need to be on the football field at all times.
Yeah.
And if I'm that guy, I want to be that guy.
Right.
And I'm not looking to tap out.
Is there something to be said, like, too, about getting in the flow of the game, feeling
there's
the way
a
linebacker, the cutback?
And then the fourth quarter rolls around, and they're tired, and you're not.
But think about this, though.
Right.
How often do you see college players, running backs, that is, carry the ball 25 times a game?
I mean, almost never.
And think about this.
Right.
How about high school?
Yeah, you're
even less.
Yeah,
because the systems down there are all spread systems.
Right. Screen here, screen there.
Yeah. It's not even real football.
Right, it's not. I'm with you.
The minute, and I said this to somebody, the minute that somebody come up with smash mouth football all over again, you're going to dominate the running
game. Nobody's going to be ready to defend it.
Why you going? You got these tall, lanky DNs that want to get to the quarterback
right,
and don't want to hold that doggone wedge and might jump around.
Yeah, right. They want the pretty plays. They don't want the messy, tough plays. The 49ers got a little of what you guys are, what you're talking about.
Yes, they
old school Cowboys. They're going to run the ball first.
Right?
So
but at the same time, they got two DNs that may be jumping around, too.
You're right. You're exactly right. You're
if we had a PFT Live Hall of Fame, this spot would get you in first ballot. This was awesome.
Right.
We love talking to Emmett Smith.
I mean, only if you had actually drank the tequila before you came out. Who knows what would have happened?
We'll be back with more Emmett Smith. We love you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was great.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================================================================================================================================================================�================================================================================================================================================================================================�            ================================================================================================================================================================�============
you've ever heard.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
You know, I've always been a very goal-oriented kid, hardworking kid. I mean, growing up, I danced a little bit before high school, but.
Well, time out. You danced?
I did.
Give me some beats. Come on. Okay, or dance for me, either way, whatever you want to do.
I was a competitive dancer, mainly in hip-hop, you know, so I was popping in, locking it, and.
Did that start from your sisters going to dance school?
It did. Yeah.
And you were just watching, and then you had to jump in?
Yep. Well, I was watching, and my mom kind of bribed me back in, like, I think I was in like third grade. She bribed me to try it, and I ended up doing it, and I ended up loving it.
Aiden Hutchinson talking to Mike Tirico. If we had enough room here, we could just tell him to spin on the floor.
Bobbing and locking it? You're too white to be bobbing and locking it. I can't believe it.
That's why I can keep up in the locker room. Right. You know, in college, going out with the boys, you can keep up a little bit.
I like it. Yeah. You got some white chocolate in you.
Of course.
That's right. Yeah. That's what they used to call me. I like that.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did. You know?
That's what they call me. That's what they call you. White
okay, see, I knew we were together, right?
They never call me that.
But you're also like this is what... I walked behind you in the frenzy here, right?
Yeah.
And just like our man James Kaminsky here, who's a football fan,
yeah.
Everybody that walks by you goes, holy shit, he's big. Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. I mean, everybody. They just don't realize what an outside linebacker is in the NFL.
I was at the Pro Bowl last week, and guys were coming up to me. They're like, dude, you look way bigger than you look like on TV and stuff. And I was like, I don't feel it, you know, but I feel like when I get around people, I guess I just...
You're a little taller than people think, and I think there's something about the Lions uniform that doesn't make you guys look as big as you actually are.
Yeah, we have skinny little numbers, too.
It's something
so maybe
about
like
it.
The numbers there's don't something. Make us look too big, but I'll take it.
What a ride it's been, too. We met you 2 years ago when you were coming out of Michigan. You didn't know where you were going to go. It might have been Jacksonville. It ended up working out just perfectly back in Detroit. I saw you saying before the playoff game that you still pass the same exit that you used
it's
to
wild.
Take to go to your high school.
It's wild.
That is unreal. See, I mean, I'm a firm believer that's the way it should be if a player wants it to be that way. That's my whole anti-draft spiel, but it worked out perfectly for you.
Yeah, no, it was it's unbelievable. I still reflect, you know, every once in a while. You know, you kind of get in the flow of things, but then you kind of you step back and you're like, wow, I can't believe I have this opportunity to have a house where I grew up and like just be able to drive the same route and the support that comes with that from the fans, from being a Michigan kid, going to U of M, being a Lions guy now, it's the support is unreal, and that's why I love being a part of this team.
It's crazy. It really is. Yeah. It's like you couldn't have wrote this in a Hollywood script, really, in a lot of ways.
It's ridiculous.
Your dad played at Michigan. You followed his footsteps. Here you are.
Yeah.
The rise of the Lions, and you're basically a part of it.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, the coolest coach you've ever played for in your life? I know Harbaugh was awesome, but
Dan's pretty cool.
Tell us about Dan. Cool. Like, what do you love about him?
I just love how relatable he is. You know, I mean, just having a player having a coach who used to be a player is very special, but I feel like the way he played the game and why he played the game is what makes him so special. He has this passion for football, has this passion just for grinding through adversity that he makes pushing through obstacles and adversity fun because he takes it on, takes it on in the face and just like, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. And I feel like that infiltrates in our team, in our players. Like, everyone wants to be a part of that, and everyone wants to be like, oh, yeah, this happened, this bad thing happened. Whatever, dude, bring it on.
Yeah,
let's go.
Right. Yeah, you can feel that when he speaks to the team.
Yes.
Even on Hard Knocks, you could feel his passion coming through the
100%,
TV.
100%, yeah.
That's why I was surprised, Aiden, that after the playoff loss to the 49ers, he said, I told the guys this may be our only shot. And he said, I don't believe that. But he was very realistic about it. There's a pragmatic side to him as well. And he also said it's going to be twice as hard to get back next year as it was this year. When he tells you that stuff in the locker room, how does it all sink in and help reset you for 2024?
Yeah, I think as we all were emotional after that game, I don't know if he meant those things completely, because I think in our exit meetings the day after, he's like, we're going to the Super Bowl next year. Like, screw it. Like, I don't care what it takes. Because I feel like I was you kind of hear that after the game, and you get a little discouraged. You're like, do you think that was our only shot?
We talked about it because it was like, I don't know that I love that he said that.
I know. I think it was just an emotional thing.
Emotional,
and
humble
moment. I get it, because it's like you have this 22-week season, and you're so close, and you just miss out. You're like, God, it took a lot to get here. But I understand. But the next day, he kind of came in. He gave us this speech that we're like, we're all ready to play again.
Right.
I felt like on that Monday. And I believe it, too, because all the players that we have that are talented on our team are so young, and we have so many more years all playing together. And it's, I think that this is the tip of the iceberg. And yes, there does take luck and that good mojo to get back to where we were and to advance farther. But I feel like we have a lot of talented players, a lot of good guys on this team.
The one big difference, though, is for the first time in a long time, you're the measuring stick team, and everybody's going to come at you with everything they have. Every week is the A-plus game from the opponent,
right,
because we want to beat the Lions. Now, it used to be all Lions. That's an extra bye week.
Right.
Now it's like, all
right,
here we go. We're going to go at them with everything we have.
Wouldn't want it any other way, baby. Wouldn't want it any other
biting
way.
Biting kneecaps.
That's right.
Aiden and Dan biting the kneecaps.
Yeah.
There's so much made about you guys going for it on fourth down, right?
Yeah.
Right? And I don't even want to get into all that. I'm interested in the other side of that story, right? When what goes through your head when another team's going for it on fourth down? Take us into, like, the defense end, right?
Because
when you guys went for it on fourth down against the 49ers, I was like, things you can't measure is Bosa's like, this is a big play, I got to go, right?
Yeah.
What's in your head as a pass rusher in those big moments of play like that?
100%. I mean, you know you got to make a play, but also defensively, you know, if it's a longer drive, you're pretty exhausted. You're on fourth down, you're like, all right, let's just punt, field goal, let's get off the field. And then they're going for on fourth, but it definitely, that fourth down energy, it's a different kind of energy. And I know there's a lot to make of Dan's call and blah, 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 but we were aggressive like that all year long.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And
okay,
I think as players, we all believe that too, because that his aggressiveness has won us so many games too in the league and the season. So, you live by the sword, you die by it.
But that fourth down, you do get a little extra adrenaline rush.
100%,
as a DB. You're like,
100%. You know, it's a potential game-changing play,
right,
you know?
Right.
And it's huge, man. It's huge. Those plays are critical.
So give me – you're one of the few people – I mean, you started the year with the Chiefs. You ended the year with the 49ers, right?
Yeah.
Like, give us the scouting report, like, about just kind of what impressed you about both football teams kind of preparing for them. I know the Chiefs was a while ago,
right,
but
right,
you're smart. You went to Michigan.
No,
he's dumb. He went to Texas.
the 49ers, from a defensive perspective, I feel like you stop the run game, you can kind of handle them a little bit, you know. And we did that really well in the first half. We were stopping McCaffrey, and that kind of eases up our pass game a little bit. And it was good. It was good. The second half, it got away from us a little bit, and the momentum was – we couldn't stop the momentum.
Yep.
But I feel like 49ers, it all starts with McCaffrey. Got to stop him.
Right.
That offense kind of revolves around him. And then with the Chiefs, I feel like it's the same with Pat. You know, I think when Pat gets hot and he's making throws under pressure, they're really good. And it's all about containing him.
Making him feel uncomfortable.
Of course.
Right.
Got to get hits. Got to get pressures. Got to – you know, don't even have to hit him. Just got to, you know, put – lineman in his face, and I mean, he's still going to make
a lot
crazy
of plays,
throws,
right,
but you know, you got to try anything you can to affect the game,
right,
as a front.
The Lions fan base really is impressive, and I had never been to Detroit before. I loved it there. It's on the short list of the places I'd move one of these days. I grew up a Vikings fan, but I'm getting a little wobbly after I see what the Lions are doing. Your fans, though, we saw it from week one. They're everywhere.
It's ridiculous.
They go everywhere, and it's not cheap.
I don't know. I didn't know the Lions were such like traveling fan base, because one, I don't think the support has been there. Like, we haven't had a season like this, so
this
no one's seen it.
No, this
you know?
Is new.
No one's seen a traveling fan base.
Right.
So it's insane, man. The amount of away games that feel like home games are just it's the crowd noise. It's so weird, man. It's not normal.
Yeah.
Not normal.
All right, you're 2 years in, right? So I know you're very comfortable with your status. You're definitely one of the best defensive players in football already. Who's the one guy in the NFL you faced so far where you were just like, whoa, I didn't realize this guy was like this, or,
right,
You know, who's whether it's a tackle, a linebacker, I mean, a running back, whatever.
I feel like the first guy that comes to mind is from Seattle, Kenneth Walker. He's always been, for some reason, they always go off against us on defense, man. Like, we have a tough time stopping them in the past couple of years. Right. And I feel like he is one of those guys that's just hard to tackle, man. That's the first running back that comes to my mind.
Explosive and power, and you played against him in Michigan State. So he
went off against us when we played in my senior year, too. Right. So I got a lot of respect for him, and I think he's a dog, dude.
Yeah,
so that's the first – talk about skill player kind of that I – because I don't really – you don't really see
wide
receivers
I know what you mean.
So
yeah.
he's one of those guys that's hard to take down.
Right.
When Sunday rolls around, where will you be during the Super Bowl, and will you actually be watching it?
I will be home, and I don't know if I'll watch it yet.
Wow.
You know?
So, when will you decide?
So sensitive. It still hurts.
It still hurts. Yeah. It still hurts. Say it again.
When will you decide?
Sunday. I know. We were talking about having an anti Super Bowl party at my parents' house. No one's allowed to watch the Super Bowl just
because
we're still all a little salty about it. But no, I don't know. I'll let you know. We'll see.
All right, now I know you can rush the passer. All right, water sucks. Gatorade is better. I want to hear it there, Mr. Plug for Gatorade guy.
Is that the
over
pitch?
Here.
Water sucks, Gatorade is better? No. That's a pretty good tagline.
You never heard that?
Put that on a t-shirt.
That's from the Water Boy. Remember?
Yeah,
water sucks.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It really, really sucks.
I don't remember
sucks.
That either.
Yeah. And they go, Gatorade. They start to say that to him.
They say some other things, too.
They say some other things.
Say
right.
Needle something.
Right.
Yeah, no, Gatorade just launched Gatorade ID, and it's their new free membership platform, and you can visit Gatorade.com to customize your own bottle.
Wow.
With Gatorade ID. And so this is my customized bottle.
Cool.
This is my video game name right here.
Wizrad.
Wow.
Yep. And
Wizrad. Where did that come from?
It was sometimes in video games you can randomize your own name.
Right.
And I randomized it and it gave me Wizrad.
Wizrad.
Like that's a part of me now.
So we're riding with Wizrad.
Hell yeah.
So you won't be shocked if I'm on Football Night in America before a big Lions game next year. You better block Wizrad off the edge or you're in deep shit.
I would die if I heard that.
We will work it in. Wizrad.
It's awesome. I like it. I appreciate it.
I love it.
Free gear.
All right. Anything else? Are we done? Nobody told us we
no,
had to go.
No, you're right.
Let's
I guess
going.
We can keep going. No, we're done. They're telling us. He's got to get
crap. We blew our chance.
I like the jacket. You're looking good.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for being such a good sport.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Too,
we
right?
try all black, you
I
know.
It,
you
dude.
And me see white chocolate again. There it is again.
Yeah,
boom.
I'm Italian chocolate. We'll be back with more after this.
TJ Watt is lurking.
He's got that lurking aura, that vibe.
Well, he has
you
that
know
look,
when TJ Watt's around.
TJ Watt,
especially because he can smell that a quarterback is nearby,
no, exactly
and he wants
right.
to hit you.
TJ
he has
Watt
an overwhelming
has
urge to hit a quarterback.
He stares
he
at you like you're a taco, and he might
there
hit you.
TJ Watt joining us now. TJ, how are you, man? Good to see you.
No,
TJ, do you just have like a sixth sense when there's a quarterback around that you just want to go hit a guy like Chris Sims, even though you probably don't even know that he was a quarterback at one point, you can just sense it?
Yeah, especially when he's talking smack about Taco Boy. I mean, it only makes
you're
you
funny.
Want to do it more.
You're funny. Are you a, you know, like there's some defensive ends I played in football, right, that before the game, they might have said, hey, what's up to the quarterback or whatever. And there was others that were like, no effing way am I going to even look at the quarterback or make him feel even comfortable. What's kind of your approach before a football game usually along that line?
No talking.
No talking.
I mean, it's no – I mean, at like halfway through the game or something, if you're close, it'll be like, hey, respect your game or
right,
something. Or
right.
Hold on to the ball a little bit longer for me or something like that.
Right,
but,
right.
Nothing beforehand, no.
Yeah, yeah. You would like to keep the intimidation factor alive, right?
100%.
100%, yeah.
You guys had – a crazy year, and everybody writes off the Steelers, and then the Steelers just find a way to get it done. How much do you hear the outside noise? You got a lot of people in Pittsburgh who want more, and they are loud. Do you hear any of that stuff, and if so, what impact does it have?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said we didn't hear at least some of it. You can't, I mean, today's day and age, you can't block everything out.
Right.
It's just a matter of galvanizing everybody and understand that the only people that are going to solve our problems are the people in this locker room and the people in that building. And that's why Mike T is so great at what he does, is being able to motivate us, keep us very even keel, whether we're too high, too low. Just being able to motivate us, put us in pads if we need to put pads on.
Yeah, you guys
like
are famous
that.
For that.
Yeah, yeah. Things like that. We tackle every day in training camp. We
right.
build in adversity in training camp so that when it comes in the season, we understand what to do. We know the challenges are going to come. It's just a matter of attacking them when they do, and a lot of credit goes to Mike T for that.
Yeah, do you guys get tired of it? Like, you get tired of this, that Mike T, like, oh, they should move on for him. I know you guys got great respect for him. He's a defensive guy. He's as real as it can be, right? Yeah. You know, don't you get sick of defending him?
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't ever get tired of saying good things about him.
I know,
it's true.
Right.
It's true. It really is. And none of this is a front. That's truly how we all feel about him.
Yeah.
I feel like if it's not, that part would have got out already, but it hasn't. And he's a great coach for a reason.
Help us understand this, TJ, because we talk about it all the time. He takes the parts, whatever the parts are, and he gets more out of what you would expect those guys to do. He somehow works his magic. Can you give us something tangible that he does to inspire guys to come together and play better as a unit than maybe you would say if those 11 guys were slapped together they should play?
I think it's a holding everybody accountable type thing as far as in the film room. When we come in the team meeting room, you don't know what he's going to show you. Everybody kind of has a little nervous feel. We're all looking around at each other like, what play? You know, and when that play pops up, you immediately know before he even hits play. Like, oh, it's my play.
I set the edge here.
You could be talking to him outside the meeting room like, cool, how's the family? How's everything going? Really nice. And all of a sudden you get in there and that play comes like, we were just cool outside, and now you're gonna roast me in front of the whole team.
Right.
So it's that accountability aspect of in team meetings. The offense goes over their spiel a little bit, so the defense knows what the expectations are for the offense, and vice versa.
Right.
So it helps us kind of hold each other accountable on the football field.
When did you know you were just like a freak of nature? Like, was there a point in high school, college? When did you start to realize, like, whoa, me and my brother JJ are kind of on a different level than everybody as far as power, explosion, strength, all those type of things?
I don't know. I mean, I'm always labeled as not the fastest, not the strongest, the lunch pail guy, you know. And I have incredible self-belief. I really do. And it's because of the people that I'm surrounded with that see the hard work and dedication. And I've always had the blueprint from JJ and Derek of what it takes. And I just want to be great. I know that I don't have a whole lot of time to play this game. I have such a small window, and I want to give everything I possibly can. And it's all about who I surround myself with and people that believe in me. And I love this job, man.
The most serious fight between the Watt brothers growing up. Like, I remember your brother joking on Saturday Night Live, like, your mom would throw the controller in the basement and be like, fight for it, right? Or something like
it
that.
It would be over something stupid. Honestly, it would probably be over a video game of some sort. Derek or JJ was probably beating me 100-2, and I got upset, and we started brawling.
And it'd get real, like, punches thrown, wrestling, like, headlock kind of thing?
See, the thing with JJ is, he's 5 and a half years old than me, so it's more of a punch, and then run as fast as you can, and then he'll swoop you and then give you a couple of dead arms.
Right.
Me and Derek could duke it out a little bit more.
Right.
But yeah, it was always a fair share of fights growing up.
It's just, I mean, roughhousing.
That's funny to think of him running away from anybody, right?
But the idea of growing up roughhousing with J.J. Watt, that's the best possible preparation for a career in professional football that I could imagine.
I played Tips 21 with my brothers growing up, and I was never, like, the hoop was always at 10 feet. I think I got, like, one rebound, and every shot was blocked.
But
it must have worked to some extent.
Yeah, mental toughness.
Yeah.
I was at the Week 2 Monday night game against the Browns. And, man, when they play Renegade, it really is special. Why does it work? Why does it keep working for the players when that happens?
I mean, anytime you get 75-plus thousand people on their feet waving terrible towels, the camera goes out, the screen goes black, and they start showing highlights, you feel it's tangible. You feel the energy in the place, and it makes you want to give these people exactly what they're looking for, and that's a turnover, a big splash play. And it's always played in the most important series of the game.
And you did it that night. You were the one who did it that night.
Well, Alex Highsmith, what are you talking about, the fumble
recovery? Yeah.
That's another example of it all. I fumble recoveries are cool, but it's all about the person that forces the fumble.
Yeah,
Alex Highsmith had a hell of a season, and he came up in big moments like that. He had one against the Ravens as well, too. We have a lot of splash factor on our defense.
He's loves the Vikings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after the Vikings and Justin Jefferson, you are his second. He's a fanboy of you, okay? He loves the Steelers. He lives close to there, right?
Okay.
He won't totally embrace it. He's bought Justin Jefferson a gift. He hasn't bought you a gift.
No, that's not how it works.
I just want to let you know.
That's not how it
works. You're his second favorite player.
It's crazy how many Steeler fans I meet face-to-face, and for the first time I'm hearing they're Steeler fans.
He's a Vikings fan that, like, revolted against his family who were big Steelers fans as a kid.
I grew up in Wheeling, 60 miles away. You know where Wheeling is? You've lived there long enough now. Wheeling's just down the road in West Virginia in the Northern Panhandle. Everybody in Wheeling was Steelers fans, so I had to be different. Imagine that. I got to be different.
Yeah.
And I've known and followed the Steelers for 50 years. finger on the pulse. Yep. I know the vibe. I know when it's going to turn around. That's why I drive him crazy all the time. We pick games against each other.
Yep.
He'll pick against you guys.
Oh,
the Ravens game. The Ravens game.
Yeah.
This is a TJ Watt late strip sack fumble game.
I don't care. Right? You can tell me all the stats. You can tell me everything you want to tell me. The Steelers are going to win this game, and it drives him crazy when it happens.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is pasta and meatballs. All right, who's the best O-lineman in football right now? Like the one guy when you play them, you're just like, damn, it's him. Crap.
I don't know if I ever am, like, intimidated in that way, but I'd say a guy that I think is doing it at a really high level. I rush on the left always, so I go against a lot of right tackles. I think Lane Johnson, I mean, being able to kick back as quickly as he is, and he has great hands, feet, I think he's...
Long as hell.
One of the best, for sure.
Right, yeah, I hear you there. What about other pass rushers? I know you respect all of them. I hear you talk about it often, but, like, who's the guy you're always a little bit like, wow?
Danielle Hunter had a great year. Yeah. I think he has a lot of very unique moves. I mean, that guy is ripped up. He's got very long arms. He has really unique moves.
Yeah, what do you
mean
by the unique moves? Unpack that for us a little.
It's almost like a praying mantis. The way that he rushes, he grabs onto the arm. He has this jump through, and then he has this, like, fake grab on where it looks the same, and then he spins at the last minute.
Wow.
Tried that a couple times in practice, and it's not built for me. I think Max Crosby has a hell of a motor, a guy that has a lot of pass rushes. I mean, there's so many guys in the league that are just doing it at an elite level right now, outside and inside.
Right.
Week 2, 2018, you played in the game. The Chiefs came to town. What did you know about Patrick Mahomes before that game, and what did you find out during
that
game?
We definitely didn't know enough. We left that stadium with a whole lot of respect. He still had some weapons. I think Sammy Watkins was on that team as well at that time. Tyreek. So, I mean, the guy was throwing the ball all around the yard. Probably thought they were going to run the ball a little bit more that day, but they didn't, and we learned a lesson that day.
What jumps out to you about them as a whole, since you've gotten those experiences and played against them in the playoffs and done all that, right? Well, you know, when you're on the field, what's kind of special about the Chiefs and their magic?
It's the consistency. Yeah. And you need to keep the foot on the gas no matter what the situation is or what the scoreboard is, because they always have an opportunity to come back because of 15.
Like, you hear him, like, do you hear him yelling at his guys, right? I mean...
I'm usually catching my breath.
You're catching your breath.
So I can't hear that part. But, I mean, they obviously have great continuity. They really do, and they seem to gel really well, and that's what leads to success.
Do you think differently about rushing Mahomes when it's, because we know he's a buyer of time, he floats, he does all that. Like, is there a different plan of attack when you're playing a guy like him?
It's always hard because, everybody seems to be mobile these days now.
Yeah.
It's very difficult as a pass rusher. We always say don't rush scared. But when you don't rush scared, you have to send sometimes more than just four rushers.
Right, to clog the lanes a little bit.
It creates big B-gap escape lanes and things like that. But I think the worst thing you can do is just bull rush all day long and not create any pressure or havoc. You at least have to get him moving and uncomfortable, even though he's still effective.
Right.
Hey, by the way, when you played them in Kansas City in the playoffs, I picked you guys to win. And when you scored that touchdown early and it was 7-0, he was shitting his pants.
Most of the first half.
So how different does the playoff game go this year if you'd been able to play in it in Buffalo?
I don't know, and we'll never know. So that's one of those things. But I would have loved to be able to play. If I played, it wouldn't have been at 100%, but I still would have loved to have an opportunity to play. But it was probably the best thing for my knee to be able to take rehab the right way now, and I feel great where I am right now.
All right, well, we know you're a good pass rusher, but, we haven't heard you. I've seen you tackle a taco.
Hey, yeah.
Well, let's see what you got here, Mr. USAA.
Yeah, so I've partnered with USAA, the official NFL Salute to Service partner. We're gifting tickets to Staff Sergeant Adam Alexander and his father-in-law. Sergeant Alexander was over in Afghanistan fighting for our country when he was struck by enemy sniper.
Right.
He was given a 5% chance to live. He defeated those odds. He's doing well back in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That's
awesome.
Why it's close to me.
Cool.
We're gonna have him out here. He does some work for disabled American veterans as well. Going to get to meet him tomorrow, and more than anything, just express how grateful I am. I mean, we're sitting here talking about football and living out our dreams and doing the things that we love because of those guys that sacrifice, give the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. And I just want to say thank you more than anything. So I'm really looking forward to
that. We thank them, too. I mean, this isn't even possible without them doing their job right now. They're part of the security. And, I mean, we got people like that defending the airspace here. I mean, yeah.
That was the comment recently after the soldiers were killed in the Middle East. It's 1% that protects the other 99%, and we can't do what we do without them being willing to give everything, literally everything,
right,
for the rest of us. TJ?
Yeah. I want to ask you one, because you did play the 49ers early in the year, right? I don't want to give all the love to the Chiefs, but, like, you know, give us your just, you know, little inside info on what it was like playing the 49ers.
I think our big thing going into that game was that I think they had the number one yards after contact or yards after catch, whatever it was,
right,
at every position.
Debo over the middle, Kittle over the middle, right. McCaffrey.
Juszczyk, McCaffrey. So every position group, they're elite when the ball is in their hands.
Right.
And they all can do different things. They all can do the same thing, but different bodies.
Right,
so everything
right.
looks the same until it's not.
Right.
So that's kind of the big challenge. They do a lot of shifts and motions, and obviously you get Trent Williams pulling and all those things. So it's a tough challenge. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. We're looking forward to it. You got a pick? You, like, leaning one way?
I think the Chiefs, but unless that pass rush really gets going for the 49ers, Javon Hargrave, I played with him. I think he's a great pass rusher, and don't leave that guy one-on-one.
Yeah, we were just talking because Tooney's doesn't sound like he's going to play, so it's going to be Allegretti, and I was kind of just saying that's the mismatch to be had right there, right?
Yep.
Hargrave taking advantage of that. Got to get that four after Mahomes, right? You can't be blitzing too much.
Were you happy that the Ravens lost? Do you like?
I don't care. At the end of the day, well, I'm not playing in the Super Bowl, so I don't really care who else
screw
is
them
playing
all.
It. Yep, exactly.
All right, awesome. On that note, TJ Watt, thanks for some of your time, pal. We'll be back with more PFT Live from Las Vegas after this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Great seeing you.
Take care.
Good luck with everything.
And look here. The hell with the prop bets, because we
there
have
is.
Max
no more prop
Crosby.
Bets for now. We can't shake his
What's
right
up?
Hand.
Oh,
we can't
up,
shake his right hand. Well, how are we?
Yep.
We can,
good.
We'll
how are you?
Be
careful. Good to see
Max
you.
Max Crosby, Raiders defensive end.
Good
welcome.
To see you.
Absolutely, man.
Hey,
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Incredible year. Good year. I was told him I wanted to mess with you, right?
I wanted
to come out and just go, hey, what's up, little boy? Hey, little boy. Get up, little boy. Yeah. Nice to see you, little boy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was afraid you might whoop my ass, but
I hope you do. Now is your best bet because I'm all, you know, I got a few surgeries. So, yeah. But it's funny, man. I got a bone to pick with you, too. I know you always give the Raiders a hard time. So.
Oh, ooh, go, damn. Go. Let's
you
do
always
it.
Give my Raiders
Let's
a hard time. I mean, you got to put some respect on us a little bit.
A little bit.
You know, it's all love at the end of the day.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I mean, you got to show the Raiders a little bit more respect.
I'm actually surprised you're here. You're saying that. I feel like somebody
talks shit about the Raiders all the time. Don't let me lie to you.
No, I already know, and I love it. I'm not calling you out.
No.
I'm just being real.
You're calling me out,
just
but
a little
I like
bit.
It.
It's okay.
It's all good.
I respect it. You know.
I wonder what I said though. That like, because I'm a fan of your coaches. Right? Where did I go wrong?
No,
like, let
I
me
mean,
know the one thing that's popping in your brain.
There was a couple of things that triggered me. I know there's times you talked about our defense early on. You're like, you know, they don't really have, you know,
I said
a guy
you're the only
on
blue
deep.
Chip guy.
Yeah,
I think,
I'm like,
right.
I got a lot of great teammates. You know, Jack Jones, Robert Spillane.
Right.
You know, we got a lot of guys. And I feel like as the season went on, people got to really see that. So.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I'm always be protective of my
no,
guys
no.
with the Raiders.
You're totally cool with that.
Yeah, no, I
actually
appreciate
really
it.
Appreciate you coming in and laying down the law like
oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah, always,
I
man. I gotta represent the Shield.
All right. So, all right, now that you got me all flummoxed and nervous over here, okay?
I love it.
All right, you jerk. All right. tell me about your little boy thing, though, because I was telling him a little bit before you came on air, right? I saw you with I think it was the Colts game with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, yeah.
And is this a normal thing you break out, or do you just break it out tactically every now and then?
You know, it's funny, like in practice, like it's something I always do. Like if you talk to Brian Hoyer or like Jimmy G or any of the guys, Derek Carrs, any of the dudes that have been quarterback with me, like that's something I always do. And it's not just quarterbacks, like it's running backs, linemen, whoever it is. Like I'm always trying to find an advantage and get in people's heads. So for me, I'm usually not the one that starts it, but like if there's something that like triggers me a little bit, I'm like I'm going all the way.
Yeah.
So like I wouldn't say I don't want to get there, but like once I start, like, there's no stopping. And with Minshew, it was the same thing. And people don't even realize. They finally, like, showed what happened.
Right.
And I knocked him down. I tried to help him up. And he, like, pulled
he
his pulled hand
away.
He
didn't want to do
And I'm like, all right, bet. So I was on him the whole game.
So that triggered you.
Immediately.
Like,
I was like, that's all I needed. Yeah, that's all I needed. So that's kind of usually how it goes.
You're a psycho. You know
a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Okay. You played the whole year with a knee injury, too. How hard was it to answer the bell each and every week to keep going and going and going until the end of the season?
I think the hardest thing was just, like, the mental side of it because I'm so routine-oriented. Every single day I have my day planned out. I know exactly what time I'm eating, rehabbing, everything like that. So I'm a guy that never misses practice. Like, my whole year, like, I've never missed a game.
You don't miss a play.
I don't miss play. Yeah, like, I'm always out there. So having to, like, be limited in practice and get 3 reps instead of, you know, 8.
Right.
And then kind of going through that and then doing a lot more work in the weight room away from the team, like, that was the biggest challenge for me was just the mental part. But, like, I have great guys, you know, the Rick Slates, the guys in our training, you know, training staff that have helped me. Like, they made it a lot easier. Just listen, this is what we're going to do, buy yeah. in, and you're going to be just fine. So I really had to just trust my foundation and trust the work and people around me.
How do you find that blend, right? Because your stamina is incredible, but yet you need to be explosive, right? Yep. And also, like, you're not like, you're naturally a big guy. You're not super jacked. And yeah. I'm not trying to say that no, to be like, you know what I mean? No, like, you don't good. Have biceps and triceps, yeah. but I know you're strong as hell. I watch you on film every yeah. week, yeah. right? So how do you find that balance of, like, being strong as hell, pliable, and explosive, and kind of work that?
Yeah, it really comes down to the everyday process. Like, I train basically all year round. And, like, we play Denver week 18. Next day, I'm rehabbing, still on meal prep. That hasn't stopped. Like, all year round, I'm dialed in, 365. So, you know, you see a lot of guys. There's a lot of dudes that look like Goliath.
Exactly,
and
right.
stiff as a board and right. can't go rush or bend. Or, you know what I mean? So, for me, it's about how can I be the best player on a play-to-play basis. And, like, that's how I feel like I separate myself. Because when I first came to the league, they're like, oh, he's a skinny white dude. All he can do is pass rush. Right. And I was like, all right, watch what I can do. I know I can play the run. And now I'm one of the best run defenders as well. So it's like I want to be the best at everything I do, and it requires 365 all year
so
round.
So it's a conscious effort to stay pliable and not be totally jacked and too tight and all that.
100%. Yeah. Like, I mean, a look is one thing. Like, I have Serbian roots. Like, Luka Doncic, you would look at him and be like, oh, he's not the strongest guy, but he's bullying people out there.
Definitely,
so,
right.
you know, we have similar roots. The Jokic is Serbian. Yeah, I mean, right. it's, my mom is, they're all Serbian.
Yeah,
so
Eastern European.
Eastern European.
Right.
Like, we're not the most shredded to the
right,
core.
Right, just
but like,
big dudes.
Yeah, but if, you know, you talk to the old linemen and stuff that play, you know, I'm just as quick as strong. So I try to be all those in one.
Yeah.
At what point in your life did the light go off that I can do this, that I'm going to be special as an athlete?
Honestly, the confidence started my redshirt year in college. I had never played DN until my senior year of high school, so that's why I didn't have a bunch of offers. I had no film going into my last year. And I went to a camp at Eastern, and they were like the worst team in D1 at the time, and I just wanted a D1 offer. That's all that mattered.
Right.
So they offered me before I even played the position.
Right.
And I went there. I was like, I'm trying to play right away. I was like 212 pounds when I got to Eastern.
Little boy.
I was a little boy then. But at the same time, like, can't measure heart. Like, I went into that redshirt year and just went on scout team and just tried to wreck the practice every
right,
single day.
Right.
And I was traveling, you know, the scout team player of the week travels every week. I won, like, literally every week.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was, like, that's where the confidence started. I'm going against Andrew Wiley. Ironically, ends up being the Chiefs starting right tackle. So we're playing each other in the league, and I've been going against this guy in when I first started playing the position. So it really started there, and I think that was the biggest year of my career, like, really learning how to play the position.
You were very vocal about Antonio Pierce becoming the head coach of the team, to the point where you kind of suggested if it doesn't work out that way, you may have to make some decisions about your own career.
We were rooting for it too, just so you know.
And I wasn't going to drop it. We ran into him the night we were hanging out with him and talking to him, so we know him.
Yeah.
Did you get the feeling it was kind of it could go either way? I mean, did you think that I better say something now? If I don't, they're not going to realize they need
peace.
To keep this guy as the head coach?
Yeah, honestly, you know, there's obviously a lot of stuff that people don't know behind the scenes. But, yeah, I mean, we went through the situation before. You know, a lot of guys spoke up, not just myself, but Derek, a lot of guys, and then we went a different direction. And, you know, it happened. It's in the past. It's over with. But, I mean, we started from scratch again, and we set ourselves back. And, you know, for me as a player, like, I want to – like, I'm going to my sixth year already. Like, it flies by.
It does,
and,
man.
You know, I know for myself, like, my messaging wasn't, like, screw the Raiders, I want to leave. Like, I want to be here. Everyone knows that.
Right.
I have the Raiders shield tag.
You're a Raider.
Like, I'm a Raider to the day I die.
Yeah,
no question.
You are.
But I just want everybody in the building to be thinking the same way. Like, every year I show the guys, I show up, I'm there 6 a.m. in the off season when nobody's in the building. I want everyone thinking like that, from the front office to the janitor. I don't care who it is. We want to win and be a Super Bowl team. Like, I want everyone thinking like that. How can I get better every single day? So that's how I carry myself, and that's kind of what my message was. Like, if we're not trying to win, like, if we're going to start from scratch again, like, that means all my D linemen are gone again. It's happened a bunch of times. The whole defense, new coaches, everything. And, like, then I got to, you know, it's not like it's a liability. I love being a leader and doing what I do, but it's like, I don't want to start from scratch again and then, okay, what if it doesn't work? Then all of a sudden I'm in year 8 and 9, and it's like, what are we doing? So for me, it's like, AP gave us a great chance to win. We're competitive in every single game. Let's add some more weapons on top of what we already started, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I hear
That's
that.
That's really all it was for me.
All of our guests this week have a sponsor. I assumed you were here on behalf of a cigar manufacturer.
No,
but no. It's Invisalign.
I don't have
Which
a cigar.
Which I want to know, like, what do you got in those cigars? You got some of the good stuff in there?
No,
I just want to know. Okay.
We're strictly
Damn, I liked you better before then.
Yeah.
All right, so let's hear your pitch. I want to hear this.
Yeah, Invisalign. I just got it. I got them in right now.
Cool.
Didn't grow up with braces, so... you know, Invisalign came to me. They said, hey, listen, 400 other guys in the league have it. And we'd love to, you know, for you to be a part of the team. So they pitched it to me. I love it. They're the best of the best of the best. So I just started recently. So first couple days were tough. I'm not going to lie, but it's been incredible.
So Invisalign came to you. They're like, hey, your teeth are messed up. We'd like you to we'd like to help you out.
They're like, listen, you need to fix that. Yeah, exactly. No, but it was
my teeth are messed up, too, on the bottom for sure. Yeah, I need it. All right, last thing, because I know you got to go. But I got to ask you about your arch rival, the Chiefs, Mahomes. I know you hate them. You should hate them. Yeah. But, like, give us just a little look inside of what makes him and them such a great football team.
You know, they got championship DNA. Yeah. You know, last time we played them, like, we
you whooped
won.
Their butt pretty good.
We got after them. So just seeing how far, you know, how they're still able to continue to find ways to get better just shows – when you have a guy like Andy Reid, a great head coach that doesn't panic when things go bad, a quarterback that thinks the same way, and then you got Travis Kelce. I mean, when you got three guys, like core guys like that, and a Chris Jones and dudes like that, you can have struggles. There's going to be ups and downs, but they don't panic. They don't freak out. And that's like, you know, from my experience, it's like the best teams are all like even keeled. No matter win or loss, they're like, okay, we're going to bounce back. We're going to get better. And that's what they do. You know, Mahomes is the best in the
league. Except when you wake him up and he tells you that you woke up the wrong mother ever.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
how good did
quarterbacks
it feel,
can
though?
Talk a little bit, but they don't want that.
How good did it feel to go into their building on Christmas Day and basically be the Grinch?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, we smoked cigars after. We were in the locker room having fun. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what being a Raider is.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
All right, the ultimate Raider. Raider for life, and definitely sticking around in Las Vegas for a while.
Charging
Max Crosby.
Me up.
Awesome.
On our
Great
show.
Seeing you, man.
I love it.
Are we taking a break?
Hey,
we're taking a break.
Awesome.
More PFT Live right after this.
Good luck.
Say you smoke for drones.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You was talking trash.
And look what happened.
Oh! What happened?
We scored on you, Dad. We
scored it. I remember that.
That was Aiden Diggs giving it to our next guest, Sauce Gardner, last week as part of the Pro Bowl festivities. That kid's got personality.
Sure. Sure, man. Every time I see him, it's always a great time. You know, I always appreciate his company. You know, he always around the game of football, so I feel like he's going to be a star, you know, when he grow up. Even when he's young, man, he got a great sense of humor. He's a jokester. I don't know where you get it from. He might get it from his dad or his uncle.
His uncle, right?
I don't know, man.
Right. Diggs did score a 5-yard touchdown pass in that week one game. Was it on you? I can't even remember specifically either, really. It was a quick pass. Maybe like
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But that's why you're a corner.
He ain't score on me. He ain't score on me.
He didn't score on you.
But I don't remember the
play
one he scored.
Itself. I don't remember it either. I have a hard time, too. All right. Well, the first thing I'd like to comment on is your necklace.
All that right. is awesome.
And and your teeth, okay?
Sure.
You are winning the jewelry award so far here this weekend.
Most definitely. Got to stand out in some type of way. And you know?
you stand out in a lot of ways. How did you got a bunch of different pieces? Like the jeweler, we saw what you did with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Right? Are you always kind of like dabbling in something new?
I took a break from it, not gonna lie. This is probably my first time wearing my chain in a while.
Right.
I got a few different pieces. You know, I am a fan of jewelry for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. What's your other piece that you go to other than, you know, what's your regular everyday one?
It's an SG. SG with like number one on the bill. So it's my logo.
Right.
You know, so that's more smooth.
Okay.
Know?
All right. I like it. He's a DB right here.
2 years in the NFL. You're already one of the best corners, if not the best corner in the NFL. Which year was better for you, rookie year or this year?
I would say this year. You know, I feel like I wasn't targeted as much, and that's the respect that the offensive coordinators, the coaches, the quarterbacks have for me. I feel like I learned way more after my rookie season, so I went into year two like knowing more, so I was more confident each and every game. You know, when I was a rookie, it's like I really didn't know everything that I wanted to know, and it's still things that I'm learning right now. You know, I'm always being a sponge. You know what I'm saying? I'm always trying to learn from different guys, different cornerbacks. You know, I was at the Pro Bowl, Pat Surtain, Jalen Ramsey, Denzel Ward, and even some guys who are not there, DJ Reed. You know, I'm always trying to learn from other guys so I can see how I can get better.
What's the best tip you've gotten from one of those other guys?
I remember Jalen a long time ago. He just told me, like, don't make the moment bigger than what it is, you know? And that just stuck with me all the way. So now, like, you know, we be having them primetime games. You know, them primetime games can be, you know, huge, you know, and they could rattle some people. So, you know, I'm always calm and collected, you know, never letting the moment be too big.
Who like, you've made the game look easy right from the get-go, right? But what, like, in your mind from the NFL, you know, college in the NFL, give me one thing that's maybe been easier than you thought it would be. And then one thing that you've gone, damn, this is harder. This is work every week in that department.
I mean, I'll probably say that the time of like meetings and everything and training camp, it was harder than I expected. Because I thought in the NFL, I thought it was just like, I thought everything was easy.
Right.
Like you do get a little bit more time, like off season wise
right.
and stuff like that.
But
so
the
that's
season,
the easy part. But the season part, like. In the season, you gotta whatever you gotta get done. In the off season, you gotta get it done. Cause like when the season start, you know you gotta be locked in.
Do you realize what you're doing right now? Like, do you realize that you are first team All Pro, your first 2 years in the NFL? Like, know the other guys that
Pop
have done
quiz.
That? There's only you're one of three people in the history of football.
I don't really overthink it. Like. You know what I mean? I'll just take it one day at a time. Like, I'm just trying to keep doing what I'm doing for the city of Detroit. You know, I'm trying to be able to just be a provider, you know, for my family. So it's like I'm always humble. I'm never getting cocky off my accolades or anything like that because I know in the snap of a finger it can be gone. So, you know, I'm just trying to stay consistent, stay healthy, and just keep doing what I'm doing.
Lawrence Taylor, Micah Parsons are the only other two people that do what you're doing. I want to let you know, because I could tell you're not a huge history buff in football, right? I've seen a little bit, like, to know or know that. You're just about right now and capitalizing, but it's really cool, man. I hope you know we respect it big time.
I mean, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
That's incredible.
Man. Amazing.
Exactly. Because Parsons is on his way to the Hall of Fame. LT is one of the greats of all time, and based on what you've done so far,
you're just keep doing
what you're doing, and you're going to be there.
Yeah, that's the plan, man.
So what needs to happen next year, other than Aaron Rodgers play more than four snaps, for the Jets to get to where we thought they might be this year?
Man, just everybody buying in, you know, buying into what Coach Saleh, you know, has planned. You know, us just embracing the coaching, us just embracing the brotherhood, you know, the bond. You know, because when you form a brotherhood, you know that you're going to go out there and dominate. You're going to have your brothers back. So, you know, us just playing for one another, that's all it takes.
You, I'm sorry, I'm messing with my can't hear return or anything, but what is it about Detroit, all right? My best friend in the Tampa Bay Bucks, right, was Dwight Smith. I don't expect you to know him. He had two pick sixes in the Super Bowl, right? Mm. Dwight was the man.
What is it about Detroit that just has this, I love the lights, I love to show you what I got, like, I'm the man, and just eat it? Like, well, tell me about that mentality.
It's the grit, you know. Detroit, all the lights and everything like that, it's not really all in Detroit, you know. When you play those high school games, they kind of dry.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like Texas football, Arizona, right. Cali football, you know. So it's like, when we see those lights, it's like we want to make the most out of the opportunity.
Right.
We're not used to that.
You didn't get big high school crowd, exactly. Like 20,000 at a high school game.
Exactly.
So now you're like, I'm here, and yeah. This is amazing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, this is where I should have been. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's all it is. It's a mentality thing. You know what I'm saying? We just always grateful for the opportunities that we receive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Go ahead, Mike.
What's the best thing you can tell us about the man who's coached you 2 years in the NFL, Robert Saleh?
You know, he's from Dearborn, Michigan, which is technically Detroit. You know, so that's my guy, you know. He's one of the ones who, if I'm doing good, he's going to find the things that I could be better at. And I always appreciate him for doing that. I always respect coaches even more, you know, for being able to do that, you know, and not just being like a yes man, yes coaching. It's just like, you doing good, keep doing what you're doing. It's always, you doing good, keep doing what you're doing, but this could be better as well. So, man, just always having him around, he's extremely vocal, you know. Having a coach like that that's confident at what he do,
yep.
You know what I mean? He always get us prepared to play. You know, it's just up to us to execute.
Got that great energy, Saleh. That's what we always love watching about him. His vein starts popping out of his neck like a psycho and all that. All right, like, you're pretty real. I want to know, like, who do you look at as far as one of your peers at corner that you go, damn, that guy's legit at corner, and then who's the guy at receiver that you've had to cover so far the first 2 years where you're like, damn, he's better than I thought he was, or I know it's a tough task facing him?
I can't just name one. You know, it's always like a lot, like corner, you know, I'm going to think Pat Surtain, Jalen Ramsey, who else? Jair.
Right.
Denzel.
Yeah, Diggs.
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
Trayvon Diggs, like, those some dogs.
Those are your guys.
DJ Reed.
Right.
You know, it's just guys that really do it. Michael Carter II. You know, I could name a whole list of guys. And like, receiver, you know, Tyreek. He always a tough guy to cover.
What do you got to remind yourself with Tyreek? Right? Like, he's the fastest guy in football, right?
Yeah.
So how do you attack him or play him maybe compared to other people?
You just got
to
be patient. You know what I mean? He like a jitterbug. Like,
right.
The moves that he make, it don't slow him down. Like, he can do a lot, but it's like, it's not going to slow him down.
Right.
When it comes to releasing, you know? And then other guys, like, you got, this guy's who I haven't won against, like Calvin Ridley. You know, Calvin Ridley, that was my favorite receiver in high school.
Right.
So in high school, when I was playing receiver, he was a guy. Him and Chad Ochocinco was the two guys that I was watching to try to get better at receiver, you know?
Gotcha.
Then you got guys like Amari Cooper, you know, route runners.
Great route runner.
You know, I can name so many. It's a lot of guys out there, man. Yeah.
What made you go toward corner instead of receiver, since you used to play both?
When I was in high school, I was playing against Cass Tech, and our corner and our safety ran into each other. Our corner ended up breaking his jaw. Our safety was cool. I wasn't even training for corner, so that was the crazy thing. I was still playing receiver. They threw me out there against Cass Tech. Like, that's a rival, you know. This guy, it's a lot of great players that come out of there, like,
right?
You know, so I went in there, I dominated, and it was history ever since then.
How much does having played receiver help you play corner?
Oh, a lot. It's like, you know what the receiver's thinking, you know what the quarterback's thinking to a certain extent. You know, it's the NFL, so you're not always gonna know what they're thinking, but ball skills is just so many things that that receiver can do to help me, you know, become a corner.
All right, so now I want to ask you about quarterbacks. Your quarterback, tell us, like, I know he didn't get to play a lot, but Aaron Rodgers, the impression he left on you this whole year and kind of what he meant to your Jets football team.
He's a true leader. You know, it's always great to have him around, you know what I'm saying? He the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Like, yeah.
I've ever played with. It's, things he do and the throws he can make, like, I've never seen them before. Not in a game, not in practice with my other quarterbacks. I just never seen them. So
What is it, though? The suddenness, the velocity, the accuracy? What
Everything. Everything you just named. You know, he going to zip the ball. I remember this is one play in practice. He threw the ball to the receiver. I almost picked it. My hands was there. The ball went through my hands. My gloves had burnt marks.
Yeah, because it spun yes, so hard.
It went that fast.
Right.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, bro, this is the first time this has ever happened.
So, right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just different.
You got him that necklace. Did you give him a bill after and be like, hey, I got you this, but here, like, you're Aaron Rodgers. You got all this money. You pay for it.
No.
You picked up the tab?
Yeah.
Damn, you are rich. Damn, you are rich.
It wasn't like that. It was more of a gift, you know, from my jeweler. You know, my jeweler, he's a huge fan of Aaron.
Right.
So, you know, I helped him come up with it, and, you know, we made that happen.
You know my favorite story I heard of you the whole year this year when you were at the Knicks game and you saw Jessica Alba with him and you didn't know who that was? And then it was all about the, don't you going to get caught up? And you said, how could I get caught up? I'm the catch. That was a great quote.
I don't remember the specifics.
I remember
that's what I said, but it wasn't like getting caught up. Like
It was something else.
It wasn't like that. It was something else, though.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I seen her before. I didn't know her actual name.
Right. I got
you.
Sauce is here with us today. Thanks to the folks at Verizon. Tell us a little bit more about what you have going on.
And it's always great to be here. I'm honored to be here on behalf of Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL. Now, they're the network that the NFL fans, players, and coaches rely on. So it's always great, you know, to work with them. You know, I'm a Verizon fan. I've always been a Verizon fan.
I'm a Verizon guy with you.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, and this Saturday, I'll be at the Runner Playlist Live this Saturday night. Also on behalf of Verizon with me, Destroying, and a couple more people, we'll be creating our Super Bowl playlist.
Cool, man. I like that. That's really cool to be a part of. All right, go party with Sauce Gardner and Verizon on Saturday night.
I love the saying, all gas, no brakes. I love that saying. But there's brakes for a reason. Don't you have all gas and some brakes?
Oh, yeah. You gotta read between that. You know what I mean? Kosala, I don't think he have brakes. You know what I mean? It's all gas. He's just always going. But, you know, as a player, you got to be able to.
You got to know when to at least tap him, right?
Yeah, tap the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, there he is, Sauce Gardner, two-time All-Pro, joining Lawrence Taylor and Micah Parsons.
Legend.
The only three to be first-team All-Pros in their first two NFL seasons. Let that sink in. Sauce, awesome career so far. We look forward to seeing what you do next. We'll be back with more from Las Vegas right after this.
Okay.
We're going to have somebody here. Who's here?
Bobby Wagner.
We've got Bobby Wagner on the program.
He's back there hanging with Chad Ochocinco right now.
From Seattle to L.A., back to Seattle.
Some changes
with the Seahawks this year. Here he comes.
What's up, Bobby?
Bobby Wagner, future Hall of Fame linebacker, one of the best ever.
Good to see you.
Bobby, good to see you, buddy. All right, here we go.
It's my first time.
Hour two of BFT Live.
In person, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've talked to him on the phone before. He doesn't remember.
I'm saying
I interviewed
in person.
You in person. That's right. That's
been
right.
A minute.
That's right. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? What's life been like, you know, with, you know, Seattle, L.A., back to Seattle once again, right? You know, how's that change of life and scenery been so far?
It's been cool. I mean, I think, you know, for me, I've been in Seattle for a long time, so obviously I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
I got familiar with it. But going back to L.A., it was just that's a life that I was familiar with when I was young.
Growing
so
up.
It was cool. And then going back to Seattle, I think there was a mutual respect and appreciation because we stepped away for a year.
Yeah.
That I felt me and the fans had. And you know, that year was special from that standpoint. I was just unfortunate that we couldn't, you know, do
capitalize.
More.
Yeah,
we couldn't
you.
Do more.
Did you have any feel or sense at all that this was going to happen with Pete Carroll? Like, it caught us by off guard. We're all over the NFL all the time, right? Did you have any sense that this was a possibility?
I didn't have any sense, you know, I think because, you know, obviously it's kind of like with, you know, Bill Belichick. When you think of Seattle, you think of Pete Carroll.
Right.
And, you know, everybody talks about those two, you know, those two styles of coaching. And obviously – both are very different, but both are very successful.
Right.
And so, you know, but also you know that at some point it was going to come to an end. I just thought maybe Pete would have had more control of it. He stepped away because he wanted to retire or something. But you know, he is the oldest coach in the league, but he doesn't look that way. And when you're around him, he definitely don't act that way. So I'm pretty sure this won't be his last thing. And if it is, it's because he wants to.
Yeah.
Were you surprised his name didn't even come up?
I don't know. I don't know what goes into that, the coaching process, because I think there's a lot of candidates over the years that haven't got looked at or haven't got jobs that are surprising to a lot of people. So I'm not sure what goes into that. But this would be his last thing.
But from your perspective, what you've seen, especially after being away a year and coming back, this guy's still got it. He can still do it.
His energy is crazy. You know, if you put him in front of some of the younger coaches, you won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, you'd be like, he's younger.
Yeah, so he definitely has the energy. It's just, you know, figuring out what they want to do with it.
Hey, did nobody tell you that you're old? You're not supposed to be good anymore?
I mean, they tell me.
They tell you. You're good.
They tell me all the time.
They're telling you. Really, what you're doing is kind of incredible. I hope you know that.
You know,
I'm a football historian. I mean, I, you know, grew up in the sport.
Thank you.
Middle linebackers, and what are you, in 11 now? 12?
This is 12, about to be 13.
So much for a football historian.
Well, right. I don't remember the exact.
He says he's a football historian until you ask him something specific.
I just went off the top of my head, and I was in the ballpark.
No worries. Right, but
it's incredible.
Six-time first team All-Pro.
Right.
Six times.
And the passion's still there, to work in the offseason, do all those things. You're still full steam ahead.
Yeah, man, I take my time to, you know, obviously let my body recover, but I try to get going. And, you know, obviously as you get older, staying in shape and eating right is way more important, you know, in the offseason. But, you know, I'm fortunate enough I got a guy like LeBron James to watch and see some of the things that he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, playing at such a high level at an age where people think he should not be doing the things that he's doing. I watched Ray Lewis. I watched Lennon Fletcher.
Right.
All these guys that have really, really long careers and, you know, fortunate enough that they were, you know, willing to offer me the knowledge that allowed them to last as long. And so I just try to do my best to use some of that as well as do some of the things that I believe in.
What are some of the things that you're doing? Because it's working.
I think it's the change in some of the change in workouts. You know, I think as they got later in their career, they stopped squatting.
Right.
Because it, you know, it's harder
on
the knees.
Just too hard on your back.
And so they start doing, you know, more sand training, more different forms of training. So a lot of that is that, yoga, and then, you know, just the lifestyle. You know, I think a lot of times guys, when they don't do the same things and that they do during the season and the off season.
Right.
And so just making sure that that's a consistent lifestyle, I think that's the thing too.
Monday after a 49ers game in year two, what did it feel like compared to Monday after a 49ers game in year 12? Like what's the difference in Mondays now?
You know, it's funny. it's not much difference.
Right.
And the reason why is the preparation is different. I'd say year one, year two.
You're just going.
You know, you're just going. I'm eating pizza. Right. You know what I mean?
My
metabolism was crazy. So, I probably had so much fast food and things of that nature that I know if I was still eating like that, I would be hurting the next day.
Right.
So I don't eat that way no more. So I think, I recovered pretty well. And I feel good.
Yeah, good, man.
You know the 49ers very well. What's the toughest thing about their offense to defend?
I think it's the creativity that they have, the talent that they have. And so they can run the exact same plays, and it could be for different people. You know, they can have Debo can be an option one play, McCaffrey could be an option another play, then you got Kittle could be an option for another play. And so normally you come into a game, you try to stop one or two players, but they have so many different people. And then they have, like, really good key role players that can step in and do those things as well. And so I think that's what makes it tough. You know, their weapons can click at the same time, which is dangerous.
There's no doubt. I mean, both teams, you know, you've gotten a good feel for both of these guys, right? Yeah. Mahomes, what jumps out to you in your experience playing against him?
I think the toughest thing to defend for him is the off the script plays,
right?
Like the plays where he just extends the plays, or even like where, you know, Kelsey's supposed to run a certain route a certain way, but, you know, he reads the defense and plays it a certain way, or kind of just finds the open hole. So it's You know, this is one of those games where, you know, you watch film and just understand that they're not going to be exactly where they're supposed to be.
You got to be ready for backyard.
You know, how do you practice for that? How do you even begin to practice for that?
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. Because, again, like you said, you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know when they're going to go off script. You just got to be aware that it's going to happen. And I think that's the biggest thing is being aware that it's going to happen.
And what do you do when it happens? Is it just stay calm? What do I do? Everything's gone out the window. Just go to the ball. What do you do?
So when you play quarterbacks, period, like in my opinion, you know, some defenses allow you to read the quarterback's eyes.
Right.
And like the routes, his vision on the routes will take you to the routes most times.
Right.
When you play a guy like this, you have to be more locked in on your person because if he scrambles, they have scramble rules.
Right.
And so if you're locked in on your guy and you just match up on your guy, it gives you a better chance. But if you're looking at the quarterback, this quarterback, you'll lose your guy.
Yeah. Right.
And your guy will make the catch.
Right, right. I know. That's why he's the man. Here's one I got for you, right? What's a stronger feeling, the winning of the Super Bowl or how you felt after the loss of the Super Bowl the next year?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I would have to say the loss.
You're right.
And the reason why I would say that is because when we won, we were young. We didn't understand. It was like year two. We're not even supposed to be there.
Right.
And in our mind, it's like we're going to get there every year.
Right.
And so going into that next year.
Yeah, 2014.
The statistics were saying we were not going to get back.
Right.
And it was a challenging season for us.
Right.
Even that the game before we, you know,
the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that was a hard game.
Right.
But we were able to get there.
Yeah, you guys were in trouble and came back.
Exactly.
Right.
And then, you know, we're going back and forth, and we're literally right there on the doorstep to, you know, doing things that people said that we couldn't. And we obviously didn't finish the job. And then I think just what happened after that, the business happened after that. So you had, like, you know, obviously the feelings from the loss, but then you had the contracts that had to be
figured out.
And
you know, everybody. Right.
Now we're not young. Now we're like, okay, we need to get paid. And now the business coming to us. But we were still able to, you know, have our group last longer than people, you know, expected together. But, you know, unfortunately, we just couldn't get another
just
championship.
Just run the ball up the middle with Marshawn.
Let me ask this. How long did it take to get over that decision to throw instead of run? And were there some guys on that team that never got over it?
Me, it didn't take that long because I you know, it kind of made you more hungry to try to get back there. But I will say there's certain guys that are still not over it to this day.
Wow. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying.
You're setting it up.
Well, I'm going to hear it, Mr. Nationwide. I mean, you're good at playing middle
linebacker. And he's a finalist for Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, too.
We're not sure about all this other stuff, so let's see it.
Nationwide,
you
know, our partnership and what they've done with the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, they've came across, I think this is 10-year mark of them being a partner with, you know, for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. The things that they're doing to help us and, you know, kind of push our platform, I believe it's $2.3 million that they've, you know, kind of given away and helped, you know, the causes and things like that. I think it's just been a blessing to be a part of it, a blessing to partner with them, you know, on something like this. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, football is amazing. But what we do with our gift and what we do with, you know, some of the finances that we've been able to accumulate over the course of my 12-year career to help other people and having them, you know, help us has been amazing.
That patch
awesome.
That goes on your jersey when you win and what it represents. But that is the most awesome patch in all of football, when you see that. The old sculpture in the cape is just great. We wish you all the best
as you
are one of the finalists this year for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Thank you. Yep.
Bobby Wagner, future Hall of Famer, Seattle Seahawk.
All right, that's it, homies. Hope you enjoyed all of the interviews this week. On Monday, Chris is going to be back at it at the desk with co-host Connor Rogers. We're going to dive headfirst into the offseason, talk some draft, talk some free agency, and of course, take your questions. So you'll get that on Monday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thanks as always for listening. Peace out.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand. Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.